Proverbs 23, verse 4 says, labor not to be rich. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away. Though there's nothing wrong with riches and wealth, there is something wrong with longing, if that's all you long for. And so we see some long for riches and wealth. Some long for the pleasures of sin. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 25, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So there are those out there in the world today who are longing for the pleasures of sin. Maybe it's material possessions. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. So material possessions, some are longing for that, want more and more and more. Some long for worldly wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 19, the Bible says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Some want to be wiser in the things of the world. Barnes says, the apostle here is referring to that which was esteemed to be wisdom among the ancients, in which they prided themselves, their vain, self-confident, and false opinions on what they thought was right. However crafty or cunning or skillful they may be, however self-confident, God can thwart their plans, overthrow their schemes, defeat their counsels, whenever he chooses to. And so we see a worldly wisdom. In fact, Job writes in chapter 5, verse 12, he disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. And so some are pursuing worldly wisdom, and though I think it's a great thing to read books, and I have a list of books I'm trying to read this year and grow in wisdom, I think the ultimate wisdom we should crave for is and long for is God's word. And then I see some crave for fame and recognition. The Bible says in John 12:43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, how oftentimes can we get caught up in the praise of men other than the praise of God? Some long for power and authority. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. Of course, the disciples here are all excited and wanting to know power and authority. And he says, ye know that they which are accounted to rule of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, he tells his disciples. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And God says, if you're longing for influence and power and authority, you're longing for the wrong things. And then, of course, I see physical beauty in youth. Now, some of you have already attained that. Some of us are keep trying, right? The Bible says in Proverbs 31, verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So some long after the fountain of youth, some long after beauty. By the way, if you took the time to get ready tonight, thank you. Okay. And there's nothing wrong with doing what it takes to get ready, but what are you longing for? Indulgence in food and drink, some do. Proverbs chapter 20, by the way, I'm the first to say I enjoy a good meal, as you probably can tell, you know. I enjoy the finer food. Sometimes it's nice to go out and get a nice meal. But some, that's all they live for, they long for. The Bible says, be not among winebibbers, among righteous eaters of the flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. So we don't want to pursue after that and long after that. And some have longed for security through human means. Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. So though we want to take the time to put security into place and be prepared as we do around the church and school, we take it very seriously, that isn't what we got to be always longing for. There's something more to long for. What about worldly success? In Matthew 16, verse 26, for what is a man profitable if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So there are several things in Scripture that shows what someone may long for. And what's being longed for all over this world tonight. But what about you and me? What about the psalmist here? What is he longing for? What truly brings that fulfillment? What curves that craving he has? Well, I see verse number 9, the first thing. And then verse number 10, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. So we see the Bible says, he satisfieth the longing soul. Who is he? Well, I see, first of all, tonight, the first longing we should have is for the Savior. For the Savior. The Bible says there, he, the Savior, satisfieth the longing soul. Why? Because they sit in darkness, a shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Why? Why are they bound in affliction and iron? Why do they need a Savior? Why do you need a Savior? Why do I need a Savior? Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Even at our best state, we're sinners in need of a Savior. The Bible says all have sinned. You know the verses, Romans 3:23, or the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, we cannot save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So this is a gift to God. Jesus is the only way to God. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we need a Savior ultimately, as you and I know, to receive forgiveness and eternal life. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And so there's different longings tonight. There's a longing that the world seems to put in front of us, that there's constantly things to pursue after. And perhaps maybe you've been like me, you've been watching a show and the commercial comes on and you've just eaten dinner and then Papa John's comes across, has the garlic butter, and it's like, wow, pizza really sounds good. 5 minutes ago, I'm regretting all the food I ate for dinner. You know, it's amazing how quickly we can pursue after something and long after something, but yet we see, first of all, the Savior is what the psalmist longed for. The affliction he was in, he was bound because he had rebelled. And it all starts tonight with the Savior. And until you accept Christ as your Savior, you are always going to continue to long. And that helps you and me today, knowing what we must live our life for, to fulfill the longing of so many people that have no idea. Today I was flying. I took about 45 minutes and didn't have a lot of time, but I wanted to get out and talk to some people and invite people to church. And I just thought, as I went from door to door, I wonder this person's story. I wonder that person's story. Didn't get a lot of people home, but I talked to a few people. And I wondered. Now, sometimes they kind of display their story with what's outside in their front yard, you know. But you wonder, what is their story? But I'm telling you tonight, every single person needs the Savior. But second of all, tonight I see Psalms 119 and verse number 174. So we see the longing for the Savior. But second of all, here the Bible says, I have longed for thy salvation. For thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Now we've already given the gospel in the first point. But as I was looking this up, Gill said this, for salvation here is for temporal salvation and deliverance from enemies, but also for spiritual and eternal salvation by the Messiah. So what is it that we long for the Savior, and why do we long for salvation? Well, because you and me were held in bondage of sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Do you remember those days when you were the servant of sin? Maybe perhaps today you're still a servant to a besetting sin. Servant of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. Remember that day? I was a 10-year-old boy. You've heard the story so many times, you probably can quote it back to me. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I was free from sin. All sins were washed away. But all things became new. Became a new creature in Christ. And tonight, the psalmist here longed for salvation. We see it from bondage to sin, but also the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Aren't you thankful tonight that the Savior came and saved you from the wrath to come? we're going to be in heaven someday. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to suffer forever. We get to be in that glory, wonderful, amazing, with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in heaven. I see next eternal death. John 3:16, of course, salvation that we should not perish, but of everlasting life. And then I noticed in Colossians 1, verse 13, salvation from the power of darkness. The Bible says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. The word delivered there in the Greek is the word rescued. And as one commentary said, it's applied to dragging a person out of battle or the jaws of danger. So delivered from the power of darkness means we've been pulled out. We've been saved. We've been dragged out of the power of darkness, the power of evil. Luke 4, verse 3. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. Remember when on the mountaintop Jesus is there and he's fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan says, turn these stones into bread. And then he says, all this power I'll give you, all the power of darkness. And Jesus said, no, I don't want your power. I have all the power I need. And I'm more powerful than you. The word translated there, the Bible says in Colossians 1:13 again, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So it really gives a picture here of the jaws of danger, of you know, being snatched and then pulled out. And not just escaping from danger once, but totally pulled out and put in a new place, translated into a new place, totally safe. The settlement of a new home. Salvation begun by rescue is completed by the settlement of rescued captives in the kingdom of Christ. Aren't you thankful that we weren't just saved one time, but we were saved for eternity? We got translated, we got moved. We're no longer in the grasp of Satan. We are now in the kingdom of Christ. We are a child of God. I seek to illustrate this. The novelist A.J. Cronin had been in practice as a physician for almost 10 years when he developed a gastric ulcer. Of course, as a physician, he knew that if I don't stop working, if I don't change my ways and get complete rest, I will die. And so he went to a farm in the Scottish Highlands to recuperate. And he said the first few days of leisure were pleasant enough, but soon the enforced idleness of the farm became insufferable. He was just kind of what was described. He was in the jaws. He was very frustrated with life, and his recovery was just so difficult for him. So he had often at the back of his mind nursed the vague illusion that I might write. And so he thought, well, I need to write. So he looked over at the other side of the room and there was a scrubbled deal table and a very hard chair. The next morning I found myself in this chair facing a new exercise book open upon the table, slowly become aware that short dog Latin prescriptions, I had never composed a significant phrase in myself. In my whole life as a doctor, he just scribbled things. He goes, now I actually got to write something that people can read and want to read. And so he started writing and he wrote 500 words a day. He finally finished and he took it and threw it in the fire and burned it. And he started over again. When he finally finished his book, it was called Hatter's Castle. It was dramatized and translated into 22 languages and sold over 5 million copies. You see, the world had lost a physician, but they gained a great novelist. And when you and I accepted Christ, we were rescued from damnation and translated into eternal life. And tonight the psalmist says, I need a Savior and I long for salvation. But third of all, I want us to see another longing in Scripture that you and I should long for. Look at Psalm 63 and verse number 1, the Bible says, O God, thou art my God, Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And then he says this, I long for thee to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. I see, third of all, tonight, the salvation, Savior, and a longing for the sanctuary, the longing for God's house. Look at verse chapter 84, verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. The psalmist says, hey, I need the Savior. I need salvation. But I need the sanctuary. I need the sanctuary. You're here tonight. You know this. You're faithful on a Wednesday night. But you yearn for the sanctuary of God, for the opportunity to spend time with God. You see, the church is the place where spiritual growth and maturity happen. Ephesians 4, 11, 12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The church is there to help you guide and help you grow and help you get closer to the Lord. It gives encouragement and support. Hebrews 10, verse 24, very familiar verses. I see, and let us consider one another to provoke. I looked up the word provoke, and it says to call into action, to arouse, to excite an appetite. And today I got home and walked in the door, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, a smell. Now, there's a lot of smells with four kids I can smell in my house, but this was a good smell. I went over to the kitchen, and there was cookies there. And I thought, wow. My wife says, nope, they're for the teachers tomorrow. I said, but I'm a teacher. She said, you got to wait till tomorrow. I said, let's see about that. So I went to grab it. I got one. Finally, after much convincing. That aroma, it hit me, that smell. That's what provoke is. To store. It's to excite, it's to whet your appetite. It's supposed to keep you yearning and desiring for the things of God. And then the Bible says, but exhorting one another. The word exhort means to incite by words or advice. In Acts 27, 22, I exhort you to be of good cheer. And Paul was often used to exhort. Some believe, of course, He was, of course, when you see the similarities between Saul, which became Paul, and Saul, who we're studying in the Old Testament, of course, Saul was, they are both from the tribe of Benjamin. Saul was head and shoulders above every man. And some commentaries believe Saul, who became Paul, was less than 5 foot tall and less than 100 pounds. Well, he must have made up for his something, because he was very intimidating. No one liked him because he spoke the truth and was bold in it. But he exhorted, he advised, to warn, to caution, as Titus 2:6 exhorts servants, and to deliver exhortation, to incite to good deeds. And Paul did this in Acts 2:40 with many other words. Stephen, did he testify and exhort? The church provides encouragement and support. You should be provoked. You should be exhorted in church. The Bible says protection from false teachings. 1 Timothy 3:15. The church, the pillar and the ground of the truth. If the church doesn't stand for truth, what will? We must be firm on truth. And then accountability and correction. Matthew 18:15 through 17. It talks about what to do if someone trespasses against you. We need the church. We need accountability. We need to be growing in the Lord. And then fellowship and community in Acts 2:42. The steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So the psalmist here is talking about a longing. He's talking about a need for a Savior. He's talking about a desire for salvation. And then he talks about a longing for the sanctuary, for God's house. And then, fourth of all, tonight, I see Psalms 119 and verse number 20. We'll look at several verses here, but the Bible says, my soul breaketh for the longing. It hath unto thy judgments at all times. Verse 22, remove me from reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Verse 24, thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Verse number 40. Each of these words are synonyms to scriptures. And I see forth tonight the psalmist longed for the scriptures. Longed for the scriptures. The scriptures give us guidance in life. And verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It helps us understand God's will. And 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. It strengthens our faith in Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If your faith is weak tonight, you need to get in God's word more. Spend time with him more. I've really enjoyed going through 1 Samuel and seeing how God used Saul, and then of course his hand came off of him and he used Jonathan. And then this week, spoiler alert, chapter 17, most familiar passage in the Bible probably. And pray for me as I've been putting that together. And David, he puts his hand on David. A great, oh, I can't tell you, you got to come on Sunday. You don't know what happens there. It has something to do with Goliath and a sling. You don't know what that is. But he uses David. Why? Because their faith was strengthened each time. And is your faith being strengthened by God's word? And then resisting temptation. Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might sin against thee. And then I love this last passage. I think this last verse is one of the most wonderful things about the scriptures. It gives us comfort and hope. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. I know many people who have gone through very difficult seasons and just kept hearing God's word read over and over. Just kept getting in God's word, and it brought them great comfort. Even in difficult times, we see God's promises and his faithfulness throughout history. And so we see the Savior tonight. We see salvation tonight. We see a longing for the sanctuary of God. We see a longing for scriptures. And then last of all tonight, I want us to see a longing. Look at Philippians chapter 1. We're going to divert from Psalms, but Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. I thank my God, verse number 3, upon every remembrance of you. Verse number 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the day until now. And then chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. What's the last thing longed for tonight? We see the Savior for salvation, for a sanctuary, for the scriptures. And then last of all tonight, I have a longing for the saints, a longing for the saints. I think one of the things that have helped me the most in the last, oh, about 11 years of my life now. Actually, more like 13, 15 years of my life now. And living 2,500 miles away from where I grew up, it was, of course, God, my family, but it was the church family God has given me. And Turlock and Grandview. And that's one of the most amazing things is the saints, you and me. Those who love the Lord and they love the Savior and they love the sanctuary and they love the scriptures, and because of that, they become beloved saints. You and I get the opportunity to love each other. We see the saints tonight give us encouragement and support. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. God's people should comfort you. God's people should edify you. God's people should encourage you. You should walk away from church tonight excited about the things of God. Being around God's people. I want to encourage you tonight to build relationship with God's people. And then prayer and intercession. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Aren't you thankful tonight for people, when you get put on the prayer list, that they pray for you? They pray for you. I love it. More often than not, we have, I don't have a prayer request, but I have a praise. God did this and God did that. Hey, we are praying for that. Aren't you thankful tonight for a church? A group of saints who lift up each other in prayer. And then accountability and correction. I talked about this earlier, but I'm going to use a different passage. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. The best person that can help mend relationships and help the brokenhearted and help some fractions maybe in the church or is the saints. Ye that are spiritual. My dear friend, are you spiritual enough to help mend broken fences, or are you the one cutting the fences? The saints, the ones who are accountable, that help correct, they help restore those who have fallen into sin with gentleness and care. You know, I hope it never is the case when God brings someone back here and the first thing they hear is, where have you been? Never mind, you know. Instead, may we say, hey, it's great to have you back. We love you. We miss you. We're happy to help any way we can. We're glad you're here. And then we see the sharing of burdens. Look at verse number 2 of Galatians 6. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I think it's great when you have a burden that you can share it with someone. And they will listen. And then they'll share one back with you. Do you share each other's burdens? Do you pray? A saint is one who you can share a burden with, and they won't tell the whole world. You know, they'll just pray with you. So tonight we see some things that we shouldn't long for, and some things that we should long for. The Bible shows us 5 of those very clearly. It's the Savior. Have you found the Savior tonight? If you haven't, will you come to Him? Salvation. Oh, we saw several things that I'm glad we've been saved from. The wrath of God, eternal death, power of darkness. We have been transformed, translated from the jaws of sin and Satan into the kingdom of God. And then the sanctuary. Do you enjoy the church house, God's place? Are you enjoying the scriptures on a daily basis? And do you enjoy the saints that God has brought into your life? Every head bowed, every eye closed this evening. Lord, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these dear people. Lord, just a simple Bible study tonight on the longing, what we should long for. We saw, Lord, in the first part of the introduction, what a lot of people are longing for right now. And according to your word, it's not going to fill that longing. They're going to just long forever. It's like drinking a soda on a hot day. It didn't quench that thirst anymore than before you had it. Tasted good going down, but you're still thirsty. And Lord, tonight we can truly be filled in our longing when we seek after the Savior, you. When we're thankful for the salvation you bring us. When we are faithful to the sanctuary with you. When we feast on the scriptures you give us. And when we fellowship with the saints, or here even tonight. I pray, Lord, that there will be many tonight that be reminded of the right longing to have, what really truly fills that longing, that craving, or that a spouse can't even fill, or that a work can't fill, Lord, that money can't fill, Lord, that Lord, sinful pleasures can't fill. Nothing can fill it but you. And I pray that we'll run to you tonight and we'll be reminded of that. We sure do love you. Thank you for loving us. Be with each person here. No doubt, in a room this size, there are those who are carrying a burden tonight, Lord, are dealing with something, or Lord, or know of someone who's dealing with something, Lord, that are wondering what you're doing right now. And I pray that, Lord, they'll give it to you. We sure do love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could stand to your feet, the piano's going to play. The altar's open. May I encourage you to spend some time with God. Perhaps maybe you say, that was a great message. Maybe not exactly what I'm going through tonight. Can you just take a moment and tell God? Maybe tell him this. Lord, may I continue to long for those five things that were mentioned tonight. May I not get distracted by the world. May I not get distracted by my flesh or the devil. But may I long for those five things that were mentioned. And I believe it will truly bring fulfillment in our life. May you talk to God for a minute or two as the piano plays. God bless you. Hopefully you have just a great rest of your week. Thank you for being faithful tonight. And please know you're loved and appreciated. And have a great night. Go long for some pie. I mean, for the Lord tonight, all right? You are dismissed.